It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
One on the play clock. Here's the snap. Back to pass, and it's complete to Coleman. Gets away from the tackler. 35-30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, and he somersaults into the end zone for a touchdown. 49 yards. The rookie sticks it in the end zone.
Really nice play there by Keon Coleman. That was a 4th and 5, and the Bills decided to go for it. I'm sure there are people going, what are you doing? Punt the ball. 4th and 5. And then they score a touchdown. Yeah, baby. That's right. It's all right. It's just, we're so shaped by the result of things that happen, right? Instead of the actual in the moment. I went back and I did the, talked about the why they didn't have the 10-second runoff. In the moment, that was the right call. You want more time to get the ball back and score. You're thinking you're getting it at the 20, maybe. Then the dude has the incredible punt down to the 3-yard line. Then that changes the equation on, well, I guess we should have had the runoff, right? Because now they don't have as much time to use all those timeouts or, you know, get their ball back themselves, the Texans, that is. So those things happen. The other thing we do a lot of times, and this has happened today, we're so focused on the end of the game. And rightly so. It's a major situation, right? And there's a lot of talk about it, what went right, what went wrong, mostly. Man, there were 59-plus minutes of game other than that the Bills just weren't good enough, folks. They just weren't good enough. They had to be better than that. The first half was terrible. It's terrible. Everything. They made plays in the second half. The defense stepped up, had turnovers. The offense couldn't get going. The offense had the ball at the 15-yard line, 1st and 10, down 3 points, and could not score a touchdown. That's a huge... Think about this. If the offense scores a touchdown in that situation, 4th quarter, down 3, ball 1st and 10 at the 15. If they score a touchdown, the Texans have to have a touchdown at the end of the game, not a field goal. So, yeah. Or, well, I guess, no, let me, that's not the case. The Bills scored, yeah, that's right, because the Bills would have then scored to make it, it was 20, the Bills had 24 then. There you go, that's what I mean. The Bills made it 20-20, would have been 24-20. Texans could not have kicked a field goal would have been totally different. Lots of things lead up to the critical moments. It's not just the one critical moment. It's lots of things that lead up to it that you can do better. So many little things compound. And by the way, how much did the Texans try to give that game away? If you're doing radio in Houston this morning, of course you're happy and people are calling going, yeah, here we go. You know, they're on the right track. They look really good. They won a game. They pulled it out. Woo, it was close. Imagine if the Bills actually did wind up winning that game. The focus would be so much on the Houston Texans blowing that end of the game. They completely blew it what they did. And yet the Bills couldn't take advantage. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you in a Catholic Health Buffalo Football Monday presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We have not yet given you our Barnes injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So let me do that now. The number one thing we're monitoring coming out of this game is Josh Allen, obviously. He did go back into the game. Speaking of that first down to the 15, Josh was not on the field. Mitch Trubisky was. Josh came out right after that, after getting evaluated for a head injury. He also said he was hurting his chest. He took a shot there. So that's something to watch. Obviously, the hand is still something that we're monitoring with him. He's still wearing the glove. He didn't have his fingers taped. But Josh did come back in the game. He did finish the game. And he did speak to the media afterward. So that's all positive. There's really nothing else with the Bills from this game to monitor other than anything that maybe Sean McDermott tells us later today when he speaks to the media on a Zoom call. That said, Terrell Bernard did play. Taron Johnson did not. Taylor Rapp did not. Ed Oliver did not. These are all players that were not Bernard because he did play, but Rapp, Johnson, Ed Oliver, Austin Johnson. So we'll get more information on them throughout the week as we roll along here and the Bills get ready for the New York Jets. We'll talk about that game a little bit later. But that's your Barnes Injury Report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Let's get back to the phone lines. Great calls first hour. Great calls. Thank you so much. I love when this show is like that. I hate when it's after a loss, but I love the fact that you guys bring energy and thoughtfulness and really smart football analysis for the most part. So keep it going, Alan. Alan and Tonawanda, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Hey, so a couple things. Well, we know why Devontae wants out of Las Vegas. They're doing their yard work at 7:30 in the morning.
I love that. Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
Number two is, what a great day in football yesterday. How intense was that? All those special teams, 200-yard run backs, two field goal blocks.
Amazing.
Touchdown. Unbelievable.
It's amazing. It is great. You know, when the Bills play like next week on a Monday night, now granted we're flying on Sunday, but when they're home on a Monday night, I can sit back, or Thursday, I can sit back and watch way more than I ever get to on a Sunday. And it can be overwhelming, but man, you get some incredible, crazy action.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. But right to the Bills, you know, I called in last week and I said, we have one of the most underrated running backs in the league, in James Cook. And he is the best of shaking tackles and making people miss from, you know, taking the ball from on the outside edges. But going back to this wide receiver separation, what I'm wondering is these are young, you know, we got some young crew, wide receiver staff, and then we got a tight end. Why, to get this separation, why aren't we bringing more people in motion across in the backfield, giving them a head start to create that separation? Because, you know, it's hardly anybody in motion coming off the outsides or coming back, you know, on the hike. So my question is, you know, would that help with the separation if we bring a couple of these wide receivers that are young, bring them in motion, and then let them get a head start on these outside edges?
So, Alan, they did have a lot more motion the first 3 weeks. This is something that was talked about a lot last week after last week's loss against Baltimore, because they kind of went away from it. And as I explained on the show last Monday, sometimes in a very loud road environment, it's tougher to do motion because you have a silent cadence. So you can't, you know, you're not hearing when to go forward, if that makes sense, right?
Okay.
And you're also getting out of the huddle a little bit later because you're trying to get everything kind of into everybody's ear before they get out.
Right.
So sometimes in a loud road environment, it is tougher. It was not as loud yesterday as it was in Baltimore. I agree with you. They may be, but here's what I would tell you. I don't know the numbers on motion yesterday versus what they were last week or the week before. I will tell you that they did less last week against Baltimore than the first 3 weeks, and I do think it hurt them. So yes, the answer to your question is yes. I think motion helps the offense in a lot of different ways. It identifies coverage. If a guy goes with, you could say that's man-to-man. If he doesn't, that's zone. It also gets you a chance to get a little separation. You do have to be able to kind of weave your way, though, to get down the field a little bit. But a lot of times it might be because of the environment you're in and making sure that the timing of the motion matters, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And real quick, hats off to the defense. You know,
yeah,
they allowed that one big play with Nico and he went out. But after that, to be honest with you, the defense shut down that offense.
Yeah, they did. They did. They did a great job and had a couple turnovers. Thanks a lot, Alan. I really appreciate you giving a call. Let's go to Pete in Pennsylvania. Hi, Pete. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, so how are you today? Thank
Good.
You for taking my call,
you
man.
Got it.
Hey, little upset here, man. I listen to the game because I work, so I can't watch it. So I leave my emotions when I'm watching the game at that time. Then I go home at night and I rewatch it. And it's just, I don't know, man. I see a lot of things that little things that, in my opinion, are going to hold us back. Like, Josh's decision-making is not really good right now. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he has a lot of things going on in his life other than football. But, you know, maybe that's why Stephon Diggs is always upset. And you know what? Like, you said it a little earlier. He should have ran when he should have thrown. I seen one play where there was a guy that me, my wife, and my mother-in-law seen was coming. And he didn't see it. And I don't know if Ray Davis is supposed to stay in the block or go, but that's his job as a quarterback, to notify his team of what's going on. And, you know, Josh not being, you know, the most accurate quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you know, like a Jared Goff or guys like that, we know his deficiency is accuracy. So why do we have a core receivers that cannot help him? You know, back in the day when he had Sanders and he had Diggs and he had Beasley, he had the weapons. And I just think that the dude is trying to do too much because he knows he lacks the talent. And this is what's going to happen on a week in, week out basis unless we get him help. And Joe Brady's not helping him. This scheme is not helping him right now. You know, last year we got figured out in 8-9 weeks. And this year it's 3 weeks.
and there's nothing new. I know it's coming before it's coming. Like those screens, those wide receiver screens to Samuel, I know that's coming. And you don't think a guy who's getting paid millions of dollars doesn't know that? And I'm just upset with it, Sal. I think we have a generational quarterback. I think our coach is good enough to win. I might not love everything he does, but I think he's put in a tough situation with us Rabbit fans and ownership and everything else. He's doing the best he can. I don't care what happened at the end of the game. That stuff's in the heat of the moment. Stuff happens. It's a coin flip. That stuff, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is how I see our quarterback playing in a position that he doesn't know exactly what to do or how to do it, because I think that there's too much on his plate and his offensive scheme does not allow him to do simple things that calms him down, gets him in rhythm, and then he says, okay, I can do whatever I want to do. And I think that's one of the reasons that Diggs had the attitude he had, because he's seen that deficiency also before it was coming. And I don't like Diggs personally. I'll be honest with you. I don't like that kind of attitude. But he's a great player. And great players, you know, and I know, they love to win. And when they don't win, they're not happy. And I don't think Diggs is in any way, shape, or form, you know, he knows too much about football. And he's seen this coming. I'm sorry to say that. I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to, you know, basically agree with him that something isn't right. And I still don't know what it is. And I don't know why it's going the way it's going. And that's all I got, Sal. Thank you.
You got it, Pete. Thanks. Thanks a lot there. So I'll just leave it at that. A good call. I appreciate your thoughts here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh certainly wasn't good yesterday. He's been pretty accurate quarterback completion-wise in his career, but we know that, you know, it's sometimes the highs and lows of Josh can be pretty wild, and that hasn't happened this year other than yesterday. By the way, yesterday, I would say this. He is the only starting quarterback in the league who's yet to throw an interception, but you had like about four go-off guys' hands so far that could have been intercepted, including a couple yesterday. Good call, though, Mike. Thanks. Thanks a lot. This is Mike, actually. Mike in Mississippi. Go ahead, buddy. That was Pete in Pennsylvania. Good call, Pete. Hey, this is Mike. Hi, Mike. What's up?
Hey, Sal. Great show, and thank you for clarifying what happened at the end of the game as to whether we should have passed or whether we should have run the ball. That was good. I've been a fan for a long time. I bought my first season ticket in 1963 at 12 years old, using snow shoveling and paper rope money. I live and die with the Bills. I fly up for games, and I know a little bit about the history. So I'm going to go half full. In 1992, we lost a game after killing everybody the opening part of the season, scoring 30, 40 points a game. We lost to Miami 35-7. Then we lost the next game to the Oakland Raiders. And guess what? We beat Miami in the championship game, and we go to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I've seen this happen. Losing a couple games after playing real well, we just have to recalibrate. And that's one of the things I really like about McDermott, is the way he can take us from – you know, like last year, with all of the injuries at the beginning of the season, he recalibrated the defense, only to have them drop like flies in the Miami and Pittsburgh game. And that's what killed us, I think, in the championship game. But I don't think it's gloom and doom. I think we get a win Monday night. We get back on track. We're playing in, I think, the weakest division in the entire NFL, and we're going to go to the playoffs. So I want to be half full.
You got it, Mike. You got it. And look, I like what you laid out there as far as the overall picture at the end, because it is true, right? I mean, and what you're saying is, not even go back to 1992. Heck, I can go back to last year, the year before, every year. It's a week-to-week league. We say that a lot. I know some people don't like hearing it. It is true. Every single week is a totally different week, and anything can happen. It doesn't mean, though, that the issues you see on one week should not be addressed. They should absolutely be addressed. You could be, though, the best team in the league one week, like they were in week three and flying high and all the power rankings and number one. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, people are like, yeah, maybe they were, we were all right about them stepping back this year, right? That can happen. That's the way the league works. Let's go to Mark down in Florida. Hi, Mark. You're on WGR.
Wow. Thanks for the history lesson of the late 1990s. That was awesome. But anyways, I just wanted to follow up on my call a couple of weeks ago talking about that Mr. Doubtfire and just that look. And where's the dogs on this team, you know? I mean, it's not all on Josh. People got to step up, and we need to get nasty again. I see this team as being a little soft on offense right now, and I don't know. It's, you know, I'm down here in Miami, and I watch the Dolphins. They're terrible. Their coach is terrible, but they're never talking about late-game decisions that he makes, and I don't know. It's
because they're losing all the time, and it doesn't matter in those situations.
They didn't lose yesterday.
I know, but come on. Like, that's why they're not – you know what they're – wait, Mark. You know what they're talking about? They're not talking about late-game decisions Mike McDaniel's making. They're talking about the fact that they can't win football games, and they have a lot of injuries. Yeah.
I got you. I hear you there.
Right.
But, you know, the other thing, you know, the final thing, now you got me off my game there.
I got you, buddy. Recalibrate, buddy. You're all good. I'm sorry.
No, Brandon Bean, or the GM, it's time for him to take a little heat, too. You know, these are his guys, and he's got Matt Collins out there as a punt, he recovers punts, and he's your starting receiver. So I don't know. Let's see what happens Monday night. You know, Jets are banged up, and they're terrible, too. So I think we'll take it. So
okay, again, yeah, Mark. Let me say this. I think what you meant is, and you're right. Mac Hollins is he's a gunner. He covers punts, not recovers. But yes. Not abnormal for wide receivers, right? That's what he does. He's played special teams his whole life. There was something you said there that I wanted to address real quick. Oh yeah. Hey, listen. I mean, on your Brandon Bean point, this is a free agent class they have not gotten anything out of yet. Speaking of Mac Hollins, Mike Edwards, who can't really get on the field. They signed him to start at safety. It just hasn't happened. Can't even really play. And Curtis Samuel, I mean, that's the biggest one for me, the shining spot here of $8 million a year at wide receiver. Not sure. Is the turf toe something that he's just been dealing with and they just can't get him on the field and running right the way they need him to? I'm not sure. But the free agent class has not done much. Look at the free agents they signed in the offseason, not the guys they re-signed like Daquan Jones. Just the free agents that they signed to bring in from other teams, and there's not much there. There's not been any production. And I get it. They had to kind of go bargain hunting a little bit because of the salary cap situation. And Brandon Bean said it right here in our radio show program, on our station, I should say, during training camp. He said, this is a transition year. That doesn't have to mean step back. Transition means different. Just means different. You're transitioning to something different than what you've been, and they have been. And through 3 weeks, it was working great. Last 2 weeks, haven't. It was not a late 90s history lesson. It was an early 90s history lesson from our previous caller who called, Mike. And I am one to always tell you, never compare what's happened 30 years ago in the NFL to now. But the overall point is right about being week to week, and you never know what's going to happen. Look at some of the teams in the NFL and every single week what's happening to them. Dallas last night, right? We'll get to that in a little while. I'm going to go over everything for week number 5. Still taking more of your phone calls here, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. And, of course, it is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com on a Buffalo Football Monday. Catholic Health, the right way to care. All right, let's go to Jay in Louisiana. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Sal, how you doing? Long
good,
time.
Thank you, Jay.
Yes, I'm a little concerned about how the offense is going to go forward because it seems like the defense has figured us out. It's a struggle to accomplish anything. I understand it's the NFL. You know, it's not supposed to be easy. It's going to be week to week. But, you know, it's a struggle to get a first down. It's a struggle to get open to catch a pass. It's a struggle to pass protection. It's a struggle with running. We go empty set yesterday, and it was a struggle when somebody should have been open. They're spying Josh Allen. They're pressing on the outside receivers. And guess what? We got the Jets next week, and you know, they always tough with the defense and stuff. So I'm just a little concerned. I just hope something can – is it over with? Nah, but I'm just a little concerned, and I just hope things get better.
Yeah, you got it. You got it, Jay. And next week is a tough one with the Jets. They have a tough defense, and that defense is giving the Bills fits. Ironically enough, however, remember when Joe Brady took over last year? It was that game against the Jets. Was his first game as offensive coordinator. And they put up 32 points on the Jets that week. 32-6. He had like 4 days to prepare, by the way. He had a Monday night game. Five or whatever. I guess six before the game. You get my point. It's a shorter week. Dorsey's fired after the Monday night loss to the Broncos. Dorsey comes in. He puts up 32. They put up 32 against the Jets. So maybe he knows something or has figured something out against that defense, which really over the last several years has been the biggest kind of thorn in the Bills' side when it comes to, you know, defenses taking on offenses. Their Bills' offense. Let's go to Sam in Lockport. Hi, Sam. You're on the North Town Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing now? Just want to bring up, you know, 3 points here that I haven't really seen in the past 4 or 5 games. You know, the push, the Wildcat using Samuel or Coleman or, you know, Cook or, you know, any of them. You know, also the holding up offense. You know, we do really well with that, and we really haven't been even using that.
Sam, you're very muffled. I can't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry, buddy.
Let me out.
Can you
hear me better now?
I can hear you better, yes. Go ahead.
All right, yeah, the 3 points I wanted to bring up was the Wildcat. We haven't even used that. If I haven't seen it all year long, the push-tush, which, you know, worked really well when we needed short game, and then also the hurry-up offense. That's something that we really do well with, and I feel we've have gotten away from those things.
All right, well, let me address them one at a time. Number one, the Wildcat, that works very – that you can only sprinkle that in once in a great while. They actually did that in the play Josh Allen got hurt. That was a Wildcat play, and it blew up in their face, right? So I don't know how much you want to be running Wildcat. I'd rather have Josh Allen taking snaps, but a little bit of a different look once in a while. But, you know, they're doing different things. They do put Curtis Samuel in the backfield, and it just hasn't worked out. The tush-push you can only do in certain situations, and I do believe, though, Sam – Josh Allen's hand has to factor in here. You don't want him taking shots on that hand. You know what I mean? He's got a hurt hand. And you do a tush push, he gets a helmet to the hand. Now you're dealing with another, you know, situation. So I think that's it. And then I would like to see a little more tempo from the offense. I agree. They do that a little bit every once in a while. But you can get the defense on their heels. But you know what helps getting hurry up? Completing a couple passes. They just haven't done that.
Yeah, to the sideline even. I mean, even quick shoreline, sideline passes.
Yeah.
Even if it's 5 yards, like Brady used to eat us up like that all day long.
So I hear you in a couple of those, Sam, but I appreciate the phone call. We'll take one more. Kyle in Buffalo before hitting the break. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, first-time caller, just like those other guys.
Thanks, Kyle.
I was just if anybody asked McDermott why he didn't challenge that call with Kincaid.
Okay, so hold on.
The last couple weeks.
Oh, hold on one second. Before you go on. I was in the press room. I didn't hear every question correctly because I was in the back, and we were carrying it live, so I wasn't up front there. But anyway, I don't. To my knowledge, he didn't catch it. He didn't even protest it. He dropped the ball when he hit the ground. He didn't hold on to the ball. That's why he didn't challenge.
Fair enough.
Okay. Would have been a wasted challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. The last 2 weeks, it just really looks like the defense is or the offense is really fighting that play clock, not ever ready at the line, and it seems like it's really hurting them.
There had a couple bad issues last couple of weeks, Kyle, where, you know, last week against Baltimore, I was trying to think of one in my head that may have popped up, but I know this week, obviously, late in the game that happened, and that's a situation you got to be more on top of, you got to be more aware of. Dorian Williams comes on late. I think he believed they were in dime, but they're actually nickel. And in dime, he's off the field because an extra DB comes in, but they're actually in nickel. So he should have been in and on the field. And he got on the field in time, though, and it wasn't like they snapped it with 10 players. But all of these come down to one word, communication. End of the game situation, communication. Sean McDermott to Joe Brady. He said he's got to do a better job, and they have to – they talked about it and what to do there. That's communicate. Everything we're talking about here comes down to a lot of communication. I mean, heck, I think communication with the wide receivers. What's going on with Josh Allen to Mac Hollins? It seems like every time he throws him the ball, half the time it's Mac going one way and Josh going throwing it the other. Happened again twice, three times, including the deep ball in this game. Or sitting down and not moving, I don't know. Just seems like they're not on the same page. Communication. We'll take a timeout. We'll have more communication with you on the North Town Automotive Extra Point Show. When we return, we'll look through the league, what happened week number 5. I'll get the sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and a look ahead to the next game. All right, let's get to what happened week number 5 in the NFL, which is not over yet. Here on the North Town Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Okay. Talked already on Friday about the Thursday night game, which started us off with a bang. Falcons beat the Buccaneers 36-30. Heck of a game in overtime. That started off the week right. And then, how about the day yesterday starting so early with the Jets and the Vikings in London? So it was a 9:30 a.m. start here. Where I was in Houston for the Bills game, it was an 8:30 a.m. start because they're an hour behind. So 8:30 in the morning, bam, watching this game. And, man, the Vikings all over the Jets early. Aaron Rodgers is just getting beat the heck up. He is so banged up right now, and the Jets just can't get off the mat, and the Bills cannot let them do that. We'll talk about that in a little while. We look ahead to our next game. But how about the Vikings? They are now 5-0. Sam Darnold, another really nice performance. Although I shouldn't say that. No, the Vikings with another nice performance. Darnold wasn't great, actually, in this game. 14-31, 179, and an interception. How about Aaron Rodgers, though? Two touchdowns, but three interceptions, including a pick six by Van Ginkel. Chicago Bears moved to 3-2. They beat the Carolina Panthers 36-10. Yeah, Panthers were a nice, cute story a couple weeks ago with Andy Dalton, but they couldn't really do much yesterday. Dalton only 136 yards passing. Caleb Williams, 304 and two touchdowns. Bears now move to 3-2. Panthers drop to 1-4. Heck of a game in Cincinnati. We were watching that one throughout the broadcast, giving you updates, and I'm like, okay, Cincinnati scored again. They're up 10. Cincinnati was up 10 points on the Ravens at home. With 5 minutes to play, a little more than five minutes to play. Then Isaiah Likely scores a touchdown. Then Justin Tucker kicks a 56-yarder to send it to overtime. There was still a little time left. And then they go to overtime, and Justin Tucker wins it, 41-38. Lamar Jackson with a fantastic day, 348 and four touchdowns. I'm guessing today, I haven't seen it yet. I'm guessing today, maybe Josh, you can look this up for me, but I'm guessing today Lamar is kind of the odds, money odds to win the MVP. I'm guessing after yesterday's performance, he's moved ahead of Josh Allen and everybody else, but you can tell me. Although Derrick Henry, he could be up there too. 92 yards rushing and a touchdown. But man, how about the Bengals? Pish. Joe Burrow had a great day, 30 of 39, 392 and five touchdowns. They just can't stop anyone. Couldn't stop the Ravens, and the Ravens just kept scoring on them. Bengals should have won that game, but instead they lose. Bengals drop to 1-4. Ravens move to 3-2. Remember, Ravens did lose to the Raiders early in the year after the Chiefs lost to open the season. You look at that division, 3-2 Baltimore, 3-2 Pittsburgh, 1-4 Cleveland, 1-4 Cincy. It's like a very big separation between them. We'll get to this Pittsburgh game in a minute. That was last night. But first, let's get to Jags-Colts. Jags get their first win of the year. 37-34 over the Indianapolis Colts. It's Joe Flacco who starts for the Colts. Throws for 359 and three touchdowns. I think he's better for their offense than Anthony Richardson is. Although Anthony Richardson has some incredible moments and high upside. Seems like Joe that offense flows better when Joe Flacco is in there. Same thing that happened when Sam Darnold went in for Bryce Young. In the meantime, Tank Bigsby has kind of become the new Travis Etienne for the team that has Travis Etienne. 13 carries, 101 yards, 7.8 yards a carry, two touchdowns on the day. Trevor Lawrence throws for 371. Brian Thomas is sensational. Five catches, 122 yards and a touchdown. Remember that guy coming out? We all liked him a lot, but the Bills just, for whatever reason, didn't make a trade, couldn't make a trade to get that high, whatever it was. Brian Thomas, really excellent game. Gabe Davis, by the way, three catches, 38 yards. There's a lot of talk and rumors and stories and tweets about him and Trevor Lawrence getting into it on the sidelines. I've yet to see a video of it. Maybe someone has it, but haven't seen a video of that. But apparently, Gabe was getting after and had to be restrained from getting even closer to Trevor Lawrence. That was what people wrote. And then Trevor Lawrence threw a tablet down really hard next to, I don't know, something like that. Good times. And they won. They wound up winning, getting their first win. 37-34. Colts fall to 2-3. In the battle of teams that just can't move the football, the Dolphins and the Patriots play a 15-10 game. Dolphins wind up winning this one. Jason Sanders, 54. Jason Sanders, 32. Jason Sanders, 47. And then they get a Alex Ingold touchdown at the end of the game with, 4 minutes left in the game to win it 15-10. They were down 10-3 a little bit earlier. Okay. Well, total net yards. Miami did have 372 yards. Tyler Huntley threw for 194. They ran the ball decently. Wright, Mostert, Achane got hurt in that game. And they have a concussion, maybe? I have to see. I don't exactly know what the injury was. I know he went out. And then the Patriots, 299 yards. All this talk about Antonio Gibson, but yet here's Ramondre Stevenson still outrushing him. 12 carries for 89 instead of 6, only doubled up in touches running the ball. So Jacoby Brissett throws for 160 in this game, and there's talk that now Drake May will be starting next week when they play the Houston Texans. Okay, good luck with that. You never know, though. The two lowest scoring teams in the league, by the way. Hey, remember that? We talked about the over-under in that game was 36.5. Patriots-Dolphins, they scored 25.
Wow. That's
I told you it was going to be super low. It was even lower than I thought, and they scored 25.
Also, from what I found, the MVP odds have not updated yet.
Okay.
So
is Josh number one going into the week?
Actually, from what I closed out of the article, okay. I think it was Mahomes going into the week still.
Okay, maybe. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Allen was second. But
okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was Josh. Maybe in some books it is. Hey, the Commanders look amazing, don't they? They're 4-1. And the Browns look terrible. And Deshaun Watson looks terrible. And he has yet to throw for even 200 yards. Remember the Bills had a streak for like not having a 300-yard passer in a long time? Deshaun Watson hasn't thrown for 200 yards in a Browns uniform. Or at least this year, maybe it's in a Browns uniform at all. But either way, this year in five games. And someone pointed out, like, it's the longest they've gone, even with all the other quarterbacks they had throughout all of their changes over the last 20 years since they became a team again in the 90s. Wild. They can't even run the ball now as well as they used to. They're just bad on offense. But hey, if you want to send the Bills Amari Cooper, I think a lot of people would like that. The Browns are 1-4, and there is dysfunction, it looks like, going on there between Stefanski and Deshaun Watson. But no dysfunction whatsoever. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders look amazing. I mean, 238 yards passing, 82 yards rushing. This kid has a lot of talent. We'll see. He's only started five games. Maybe teams catch up a little bit. We'll see. Broncos have an excellent defense, and then they scored some points yesterday. And Bo Nix was very efficient, 19 of 27, only 206 yards with two touchdowns. Broncos beat the Raiders 34-18. And, of course, Patrick Surtain with an incredible 100-yard interception return. And the Raiders, as we all predicted, would have some quarterback issues and struggles and question marks, and they still do. 34-18. Broncos 3-2. They're good. Broncos are pretty good. They have a really good defense. Raiders are 2-3. Big-time comeback by the Cardinals to beat the 49ers in an upset. 24-23, Cardinals win that game over San Francisco. Kyler Murray in that game, 19 of 30, 195 and a touchdown. Comes up big, though, at the end of the game. Hits Higgins with a touchdown with 11:25 left. Then they get the ball back. They kick a field goal to win it, 24-23. Brock Purdy, 244, a couple of interceptions. Brandon Ayuk went off, 8 catches, 147 for the San Francisco 49ers, who now drop to 2-3. And the Cardinals move to 2-3. They improved to 2-3. Packers came back to beat the Rams. They were down a little bit in this game. 24-19 is the final score. Looked like nobody wanted to win for a little while, but Jordan Love, 224 and a pair of touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, 260 and a touchdown. Kyron Williams, 102 yards rushing. Tucker Kraft with a long touchdown in this game. There it is. 66 yards. Oh, and then another one. He had seven. He had two touchdowns in that game. All right. So the Packers moved to 3-2. The Rams dropped to 1-4. What are the Rams by the time the Bills play them in December? They get Puka back and Kupp, and are they the same team? Are they playing these guys? Are they looking to next year? What are they doing? I'm very interested in that. Giants with a huge win at Seattle, 29-20. Huge win. I mean, for the Giants here to get back on track and win a couple in a row here, really great for them, right? Because they lost on Thursday nights. Two out of three. They beat Cleveland a couple weeks ago. But this is a nice win for them to go all the way out to Seattle, win a game 29-20. And how about Daniel Jones? He looked pretty good yesterday. 23 of 34, 257 and two touchdowns. But the game here was going to be won by the Seahawks. Field goal blocked, returned the other way for a touchdown by the Giants. Crazy. Crazy ending to that game. Giants win the game 29-20. Then last night, Cowboys beat the Steelers 20-17. A very late game. Stayed up to watch it 1 o'clock in the morning, basically, when it ended due to a lightning delay to start the game. 20-17. Cowboys beat the Steelers. And I'm going to have more for you on this in just a second when we come back. Actually, I was thinking of standing down on... I might do that still. All right, I got a couple stand downs this week. Sit up, stand down, coming your way. Dallas wins on basically almost a last second touchdown. 20 seconds left. Tolbert catches it from Dak Prescott on fourth down. Pretty exciting end to a long NFL day. Cowboys 3-2, Steelers 3-2. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and look ahead to the Bills and the Jets next Monday night. All right, let's get right to it. Let's sit up on. I actually had this guy as a stand down recently. But I'm going to start to sit up now on what I'm seeing from Caleb Williams, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Last three games, he's thrown for 300 yards twice. He hasn't thrown an interception over the last two games. 5 touchdowns and 2 interceptions over the last 3. They're starting to play better football. He has some good weapons around him. They're bringing him along. Caleb Williams is starting to shine a little bit here. And I was one that said, come on, too early to anoint him. And it is. But I'm going to sit up on Caleb Williams. So I think that just pay attention. Start to pay attention about what Caleb Williams is doing here. What do the Bears have this coming week? Real quick, I'll do a look at their schedule. 36-10 this week. Ooh, they get Jacksonville next week, then a bye. Ooh, then it's Williams against Daniels. Week 8. Love that. Jaden Daniels. Let's stand down on the guy that the Bears traded away, who's getting so much love. I don't know. I'm just not feeling Justin Fields right now as some savior. Oh, my God, he's got to be the starter. Like, I felt this way about him anyway. I still was not super convinced. And, yeah, he's made some nice plays. I think he's in a better situation than he was in Chicago. And I like the way that they kind of brought him along here in Pittsburgh. But last night was nothing special for Justin Fields. He was 15-27, 131 yards. He threw 2 touchdowns, but I wasn't super impressed. And Dak Prescott was okay. He actually threw a lot of yards, but threw a couple bad picks. It doesn't move the needle for me. I wonder what they do next week with their situation, with Russ Wilson probably being better, being ready. And let's get to I was going to also stand down on the Seattle Seahawks, but maybe we'll do that another time. 2 losses in a row here. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
So, my buddy is really going to be all my buddies, and all of us, our buddies should be everyone who's in the eye of this next hurricane down in Florida. And I'm just telling you, if you have friends, family, check in on them. Make sure to see how they're doing. My mother-in-law still lives in Venice, which is right in the coast there where it's headed that way. Looks like, you know, it's right in the eye. I mean, the center, the west coast of Florida where I used to live. And this area has been already from last year with the hurricane that went in through Fort Myers, this year, the one that just recently passed, and now Milton. And my buddy is all my buddies down there, everybody, but everybody, no matter what. A lot of people listening to this show, and I know what it's like. I've been through these things, the anxiety it causes, and the try to do whatever you can. You just don't know where it's going to go, what's going to happen. Just keep everybody in your thoughts here, okay, who's down there. Check in on your friends and your family. If you have somebody who's living in Florida, anywhere, I'm telling you, just check in on them, see if they need anything, any way that you can help. We made a call down to my mother-in-law and said, do you need to come up to Buffalo somehow? Do you, like, you want to drive somewhere, get an airplane and come up here if you want to do that? She's in her 70s, right? We're trying to do our best here. And I just want to keep all of them in our thoughts this week as Milton intensifies and heads towards Tampa, Sarasota, Fort Myers, Panhandle, Tallahassee area, whatever, West Coast. Not as far as that maybe, but they'll still feel the effects of it. All right, let's look ahead to the next game. It is brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. You all know, I say it all the time, I go out, hanging out. I'm not really much of an alcohol drinker, but especially not a beer drinker. Never really acquired the taste. I like my seltzers. I'll drink a little wine once in a while, but man, you give me a nice seltzer, this hits the spot. Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. They have 4 incredible flavors for you to try. I'm going to tell you about them right now. They're great. Watermelon Cucumber, Rosemary Yuzi, Peach Jasmine, Honeysuckle Ginger, Rich Pete, big Bills fan, and of course, Wyatt Russell, son of Kurt Russell, son of Goldie Hawn. They're the ones that made this. Check them out at lakehour.com. Check out the Bills next Monday night in New York, New Jersey, I should say, against the Jets. It's going to be a really big game for the Bills because the Jets, right now, they can't get off the mat. But if they do, and the Bills play the way they have the last 2 weeks, we're looking at the Bills dropping to second place in the division. The Bills can, this is a monster division game. You can separate yourself by a game with a win over them, or you can fall to second place in the division. Right now, it's the haves and have-nots in the division. The Bills are the only have, and yet they haven't played like it the last 2 weeks. But this game could put separation there. The rest of the teams in the division aren't that good. This is a big, big game next Monday night. And of course, once again, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Great show today. Thank you very much. Visit lakehour.com. Listen here for One Bills Live. It's up next here on WGR Sports Radio 550.